unveiling of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. I don't know anything about the book of Revelation, but I know that there's going to be an unveiling, lifting the covering, the disguise, the anonymity from Jesus, which was the name of his humiliation. Everybody in Israel was named Jesus. If you go to Mexico today, there's a lot of Jesus because it's a very common name. It's like John in the United States, John Smith. He was Jesus of Nazareth. It does mean Savior based on the Hebrew Joshua, which meant Savior. However, every other kid was named Jesus. So Jesus is the name of his humiliation as he came as a man. Christ, and the reason I'm analyzing this, hi everybody, Martin Zender, I was really tempted to show up today again in my nerd persona because I'm daring you to stay with me. I'm daring you to stay with the only series on the internet on the book of Revelation, the only series that is dissecting words, that is looking at the structure of Revelation, that doesn't care what everybody else is saying, that doesn't care to be sensational, and that is emphasizing the purpose of the book, which is to unveil the creator of the world, who is about to arrive from the shrouded mists of history and to take the earth's stage and to assume his rightful place as the head of all. But I misspeak, because even though he's the head of the universe, and that's the secret of Christ, I'm going to talk about that name again, Christ. In the book of Revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ, he is going to take his rightful place as the owner of earth. This will fulfill his role to Israel. He was always presented to Israel as the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who would fulfill the promises God made to Abraham. Namely, that Abraham and his seed would be the head and not the tail of all the nations, and that they would reconcile all the nations to God. That was the promise God made to Abraham. And Romans 15:8, the Apostle Paul calls Jesus Christ, well, we could just look at it. Christ became, let's just look at it. I don't want to paraphrase it because this is an important verse. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. This is Christ's role when he was in his Israelite suit, when he was walking this earth. For I am saying, Paul says in Romans 15:8, that Christ has become the servant of the circumcision for the sake of the truth of God to confirm the patriarchal promises. What are the patriarchal promises? The promises God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, that he would be the father of many nations. And Jesus Christ, when he was in flesh, came to be that for Israel. And many people think that because Scripture says when Jesus was on earth that the kingdom is near, near is the kingdom of the heavens, that Jesus was kidding, because the kingdom obviously hasn't come, if you haven't noticed. If you think the kingdom is here, look out the window. Tell me the kingdom is here. If the kingdom is here, I need a better brand of Windex, because I still see death operating. I still see Israel not recognizing her Messiah. I still see sin with Jacob. I still can't see lions lying down with lambs. I was at the zoo last year, and they still had to have a cage to keep the lions from the lambs. Kingdom's not here. Because Israel once again rejected her Messiah, because Jesus came not in power and glory, as he is coming in the book of the unveiling, as the white horse conqueror. But he is coming, he came the first time in infamy, anonymity, ignominy. Now, I'm going to turn to, I started to read this yesterday, Luke chapter 4. Christ means anointed again. It means that he has been chosen by God to do something. I'm going to look at David today too, I think. Or if I don't get it today, I'm going to look at it tomorrow. Foundational stuff here. This is Jesus in Nazareth on a day of the Sabbath, entering the synagogue and reading to the learned men concerning himself from the prophet Isaiah. Opens the scroll, says this, verse 18, Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, on account of which he anoints me, to bring the evangel to the poor. And to do that, he had to come among the poor. Let me draw an analogy as I read this passage between Jesus Christ then and you now, and the exaltation of Christ, the unveiling of Christ, which is nearly upon us, to your unveiling as a member of the body of Christ, which is nearly upon us. He has commissioned me. Commissioned, in this verse, goes back to anointed. An anointing is a commission. An anointing is God rubbing your head with oil. In the case of the days of old, prophets, priests, and kings, they literally anointed your head with oil. They poured it and they rubbed it in. They rubbed it because it was to become a part of you. And you were to be indelibly marked. And once that was done, you were the chosen one. And it did not matter, as we're going to see with David in the cave of Adullam, it does not matter whether you immediately assume that role or not. And this is true of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was anointed. And even though we don't see him assuming power until the unveiling, until he's unveiled, it does not mean that he's not the anointed one. But every physical, visible indication would suggest to you that he was not the anointed one, that he was a loser from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from your town? Can anything good come from you? I mean, come on. People look at you and they say, you are a member of the body of Christ. You are seated among the celestials in Christ Jesus. And when David was hiding in the caves, 7 years before he assumed the kingship of Israel, he gathered together with him. This is so good. He gathered together 400 people who were losers and the dregs of society in a cave. I love this because the cave of David, the cave of Adullam, is suggestive of the anonymity and the cave and the darkness and the even depression and the shadows, the valley of the shadow of death that God has us in right now. And the shadow that the earth is in right now. Because it's always darkness, it's always the darkest right before the dawn. I hate those little cute sayings, but you know what? This one has a kernel of truth in it. Because in the Jewish day, the night came first. Jewish day starts at sundown. I love the beauty of that. That makes so much sense. Sundown. Of course you start the day in the cave. And the day finishes in the sunlight. The horror stories of humanity are the opposite. The horror stories of humanity start us with potential, with light. We're born into this world with such potential. We can make something of ourselves. And then we all fail. We all fall short of the glory of God. And then what follows is the night of gloom and darkness and eternal separation from God, according to the Christian religion. I'm happy to tell you that that's not the way God operates. The way God operates is that the night comes first, and the cave comes first, the anonymity comes first, the humiliation comes first. What comes first is the Son of God in flesh, dressed, disguised as an Israelite for the love of. Do you think he's actually a Jew? Do you think that the one who created the heavens and the earth is actually a Jew? For one thing, in the body of Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. So if he's Christ, if he's the anointed one, and we're part of his body, and when we're perfected, there's neither Jew nor Greek, how do you think that Jesus Christ is actually a Jew? He humiliated himself and came as a Jew. He came as a slave, and he disguised himself in an Israel suit. But yet when he appears to Paul on the road to Damascus, he's a light brighter than the noonday sun. So he's not really a Jew anymore, is he? No. He's the Son of God. However, in the unveiling of Jesus Christ that we're looking into, he comes back, sets his feet upon the Mount of Olives. Literal fact, there's a mountain in Israel, a little mound, if you will, adjacent to the temple area that's called the Mount of Olives. That's the exact spot he left this earth from. This is the exact spot he's going to return to in Israel, and he's going to again look like an Israelite. But this time, he's not going to come in humiliation. He's going to come in glory. Let me finish this verse. Then tomorrow, to finish this week, I'm going to look at David in the cave, and I'm going to look at our lives. And then I'm going to show you again the structure of the book of Revelation, because we're still introducing it, and you need this stuff. And we're going to look at how he presents himself. And this is the focus, the tight focus of the book of Revelation. Prophet, king, priest. Prophet, king, priest. You need to keep these three things in mind. Jesus Christ is anointed to be prophet, king, and priest. And we see these themes presented early and then presented late in the book of Revelation, elaborated upon as he's taking both the throne and the altar. He has commissioned me to heal the crushed heart, to herald to captives a pardon, and to the blind the receiving of sight, to dispatch the oppressed with a pardon, that is, to free them, to free the oppressed with a pardon, to herald an acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20, furling the scroll, giving it back to the deputy, he is seated. He is seated. And folks, from that day to this, he has been seated. He has been given all power and authority, but he has not yet exercised all power and authority, but he's going to, and that's what the unveiling of Jesus Christ is all about.